Thank you for coming. I'm so pleased to be here and share with some of new thoughts with you, new ideas. We two chain people, when people read our paper, so you guys may be brothers, maybe brothers. I said, no, we just met in the APHA conference, you know, like about 5 years ago. And then later we just began to work together, get, you know, methodology, and they are all ones. I'm more on the substantive side. If I have a question, say, this is my thought, and he can, you know, turn that thought into a, you know, a model which we can solve. So it's really like I share this with you. Normally you are young or senior or junior, you can do this, you know, so make friends with the person to attend the conference. And the, so we're not brothers, but like brothers. And the cosmo model is something which we really like. And the first time when I read my first book in Chinese in 89, I mentioned that the cosmo model in my, you know, book. By that time, there's no way you can solve, just the idea. So that idea followed me for a long time. Now finally, you know, with Dean Chen joining me, we can have this, yeah, be in paper, in grants, and also benefit our research community. Today I'm going to talk about something, you know, we are, because I did a lot of randomized trials for behavior interventions, also clinical trials. We do say issue of, you can see, crosstalk, also the randomized control trial. And that's usually ignored by many researchers. And we know if you do a trial, one group you give them the either medicine or education, another, you know, attentional control, say we compare how they differ. The difference will be so-called an intervention effect. How if the people from two groups talked? You say, from medicine, they say, oh, I eat this medicine, you feel very good. Either purposely or by chance, you know, accidentally talk, then they may undermine your effect. For education, or even more serious, I tell you how to do exercise or how to, you know, learn something, and I just, so my group from the, by chance in another control group, we just met where I talk, then that will jeopardize the randomized trial. The reason, you know, for me, when I do the, because we are more on the methodology study, when we do the analysis, you always feel uncomfortable. That bugging me for a long time, so I always think something, see, we may have something, you know, to try to say if possible, and today I just want to talk about something we tried. It seems promising, but still not very sure. So we know randomized control trials is kind of a gold standard. I even miss the A, gold standard. You can say the English. why is the gold standard? Because it's the most strict, you know, approach we can evaluate in a patient program, both in medicine or in behavioral. Because through the random design, we control all the background differences. And they, normally, you know, if we're younger, older, because I have both groups the same thing, so it doesn't come into play. Secondly, we call it attentional control. In medicine, we call it placebo. This group of people, you're taking the medicine, in yellow pills, we get the same, you know, sugar pill, also in the yellow, give it to the control group. Attention, you know, we block the subjective field, like attentions. And also, you know, any other factor we cannot measure, the automaker is the randomization, the control. So it's so-called standard. But with very few people consider about, you know, the other subjective part. For example, if I'm in Canary, I like this doctor more than others. I just believe this pill is going to help me. And this can be cross, you know, talk between the vision and controls. And those are usually very hard for you to control before the intervention starts. Because it happens after you already started the trial. And today I'm more focused on this behavioral intervention rather than medical, so give a little bit more in-depth about the behavioral intervention issues. And when you do behavioral interventions, first, we say when the people talk to your subject, either students or patients, we cannot just use one person to talk with everybody. We usually have a big group, more than one interventionist. So the interventionist may, you know, talk something differently, not as you write in your manual, say, you have to talk in that way. For example, I just don't like to talk about sex. I may try to avoid this and we'll talk in no tone. You will, you know, change your outcomes. And also, I did not have a school-based intervention. Even though you randomize the trial, randomize the assigned groups, But you just, even you stratified, you still get an imbalance in your like, conditions. Now, some, if you get a win school with more good students or more good teachers, they're going to do much better than the so called the problem in your schools or some teachers who just don't care. But this is not the main thing, so called contamination through crosstalk. Yeah, because you know, in school based intervention, if you're randomized by school, which you can reduce the crosstalk, but you need a huge sample size because your group size are so big at school. But to some point, if you're randomized by class systems, you know, with a smaller class, you can have smaller sample size, but crosstalk is a bigger thing. So it's very hard to how to balance these conditions. If you think about further, you know, the costs are not just between intervention groups and the control groups. Within groups, they do not call it crosstalk. They call it information. See, yeah, crosstalk means something you're not to talk about, your talk, we call it crosstalk, English-wise. But it literally seems like any two-person talking, we can say crosstalk. But here, we don't say, for within groups, we call it information exchange. And for cross group, not supposed to be a talk about cross group. So in that way, we're going to, if you're doing intervention, we have two things to consider. One is cross group, and they can contaminate within group, but they may improve your intervention. Because, you know, if you say, somebody says, oh, teach this, today's your session, I really like it. Oh, I like it too. And then you enforce the group. Or even also can undermine, say, wow, this is junk, I know this already. Oh, this teacher today, he's crazy. They could also undermine. All these things we can think of, but you can see any method you can assess them. No, okay? We just imagine, but no method to do that. Why? Because first, you know, we want to assess this kind of crosstalk. You have to know who talk with whom. And then there's an IRB thing. You have to write a non-statement and say, how could I do the pretense so the privacy will not be jeopardized. And if you want to collect such a data, it's going to cost a lot of money because people can talk anytime, how frequently you should sample them, how you're going to do your questioning, and is your survey is going to jeopardize the intervention effect, because when you survey, you have to ask questions, the question may be related to your intervention, that's the problem. Because we do want to say if they talk about the intervention contents. So technically, it may not be a good idea. And another challenge is how to measure the impact after your talk. So this is different from giving medicine. So giving people under hypertension medicine, your pressure goes down. The information impact of information is very different. So not a linear, even not a cusp. Some other you know ways to change through talk to change people's you know behavioral attitudes. And so they call this complex now means complicated. It's another system, non-linear system, complex. What are we familiar with today, we call it, particularly with the medical and public health, it's a linear system. It's a non-complex system. But complex systems are very different. They look you know, very different. Like the cusp also is a complex system. And we already know I didn't put the reference to a number of studies, say if you use linear correlation to affect you know, two people's talk, the consequence of two people's communication, the linear maybe catch up at about 30% of the interactions, because they involve information exchange and attitude exchange. Just a good idea, so what do we mean by linear relations? It means X increase, you know, Y increase in a linear version, which is the covariance of XY over the variance, the multiplying of two variance. This is a definition of linear correlation. I bring this up because later we're going to use this, you know, to illustrate other indicators. We call it mutual information. Still like X and Y. In crosstalk, X is one person, Y is another person. They talk about the same topic area. So when the information crosses over, this attitude of one person affects another one. This is a correlation, right, between these two persons. And they call it mutual information to assess the, this is the way in complex system to assess the relation between a crosstalk or within group information exchange. if some of you know the informaticals, this is more like suddenly the term just swallowed. But you can see this is like a joint distribution of x and y, and the plus this is more like a, even though x and y may be continuous, but this is more like a discrete them, categorize them to do a probability type of estimate. So in this way, you can estimate the effect from a cross talk or information exchange. And here, the MI estimate MI will be the minimum will be zero. There's no more sinus, can be infinitive. So you can see the when politicians will happen in the leader society, they can change the voting of the country. So the power is very huge. They can lead to a turnover of a government. And riots, you know, this, they can see this is the power of the information exchange. So you cannot use linear to describe them. And but for us, we are familiar with this, you know, linear correlation. Linear correlation from negative one, positive one, with zero in the middle. And if we use this to measure, we do not know how good is our measurement. So people think about how to change this MI, you know, make it in like a R. Like the regression we just showed in the previous slides. We want to be like this. This is from, you know, negative one to positive one. And so people there do develop this kind of, we call it informational correlation, which is, you know, like you first compute this MI into this kind of condition. You make this, you know, mutual information into a, I call it, you know, like a informational correlation. And the bottom of this circle, you can find the description about the side over there. And in this case, the RI will be between 0 and 1. So no more negative. You can see this one, when the correlation of two variables, we do not care about that direction, there's no more negative and positive. But just between 0 and 1, 0 means, you know, no correlation, no effect. 1 means, you know, the maximum effect. And we use this method to quantify the consequences of cross-group talk or within-group information exchange. So then when we get the result, we can still use our traditional idea of, you know, correlation coefficients to say if the result is good or bad. And still we know now we do not see the direction of the correlation. We just see when, you know, so they're correlated. Negative or positive, we do not know. Okay, this is the idea about the issue of the methodology. Now, how could we assess the cross-group, you know, talk or within-group information exchange? This is the biggest challenge we talked at the very beginning. And even though, like here, when we attend this group, maybe like you and me, we all of you talk with me. So we're going to be affected, you know, in terms of this methodology, this outcome of our methodology. And how could we do a behavior intervention, you know, with so many subjects you even do not know them? Then you can assess their, you know, crosstalk or within group information exchange. So on the way, I kind of you know, just crazy thinking sometimes. Even in the morning when you wake up, we post such an idea called RPB to get a data and get this, you know, informational correlation. So this chart will give us a detailed description called RP means a randomized pairing bootstrap. If we think about even our group over here, and if you do randomized chart, you do have you will do a survey, you do have your subjects in your group. I just assume some people talk within the group. And we do not know who they are. But we do have everybody's data. Then I just randomly draw a sample and arrange another sample again. I pair them. So randomly pairing. Each time we draw the random sample and pairing them, I compute an informational correlation coefficient. Right? If you know, they do talk, you know, some people do talk. If I draw many, many times, one of the samples is going to catch those, you know, who talk and more, as a, you know, how say approximation of those who talk, like estimate of those who talk. So anyway, because on computer, we can randomly sum many, many times, like a matchmaker. We just randomly matchmaker them. Each time we offer make to the symphony, we compute information correlation. So the true correlation, how say, our sample correlation will be have the loss of likelihood to happen with the true, if you adhere to the true, you know, correlation. For example, if the true correlation is 0.2, you can do another match, some will be way below 2, some will be way ahead, but some that happen most will be around the true correlation. This is the so-called random permanent bootstrap. So anyway, if you really compute, we have you know, a distribution of the informational correlation matrix, and then when the mode, you know, that will happen with the biggest, you know, likelihood will be the true sense. So in this way, we do not know, we don't care about who talk with whom. We just focus on the outcome variables, and if they are correlated, and then we do be able to, in theory, to be able to assess how much it will be within. If we just talk about one group, or just within group, you know, exchange. If we have two groups, will be cross-talk. This is the general idea about the random pairing bootstrap methodology. Sure. So today we have some lecture time. Oh, you mean this distribution, huh?
Yeah.
So if you randomly sample the pair a thousand times, you get a thousand, you know, information correlation coefficients. Yes, do a frequency table. So then with the highest frequency, you know, will be the smoking gun. You get the way beneath, that will be the impact of mutual talk or cross talk or mutual exchange. So this if you run some bootstrap, you know that it's just, you know, do the same thing, you know, you get a lot of numbers and like your data again. You just do a cross step of frequency. You can get the number of.
The correlation is
relative one. Depends. Depends on the actual data, you know, you have. Yeah, you could be, yeah, range is 0 to 1.
So, that distribution is between relative
1
to
1,
right?
Yeah, so in theory.
Based on the data.
It could be centered, you know, like 0.1, also could be centered at 0.9. Just depends on how much they exchange, you know, how much will be the how much is the consequence of the exchange more effective, not just to change by consequences.
How you select a pair?
Oh, here, yes, okay, got you. I have typos, yes, 350, then yes, 250, this is a mistake. I just noticed last night. So how to submit a random, the same data I have, you do submit your data on your computer, right? Just randomly choose, you know, if you have 500, choose 250, randomly choose. And then, you know, assume you do not choose them, you just draw again, this 250, just match. Since we are randomly drawn, you just match them, like a random pair.
What's the criteria
match on A? No, nothing. You don't need to match. Yes, when you randomly draw a sample, they will be ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? All the way down. Another one also 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. It's just 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3. Is that correct?
When you have
random,
you begin 50 people here, so we
I believe we have questions regarding match. Here, we do not impose any criteria to match. Just order them. 1, 2, 3, 4, another 1, 2, 3, 4, just 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, 4. Whatever come you want of your interest. For example, if you study high blood pressure, we just, you know, work on the high blood pressure. You will study, later we're going to have examples to show that. So here, with this approach, we'll answer two questions. First, you know, if the information of correlation actually reflects the correlation, right? Second, they will want to say, you know, if this is really like a, you know, can find, can can detect the internal evidence, you know, the effect from cross-talk or from Western group information exchange. So the following one, I'm going to show you more data. Hopefully, I'm even not fully convinced, but. That means one group, for example, if you talk about attitude, like political attitude, one group says this, another group, they are not current. You have talk about yours, I talk about mine, will be current, will be zero. Okay, I'll first do a simulation study. We use computer generated data, which we know the correlation status. And so we have data of 500 subjects. This is computer generated. We use different, it was a correlation equals zero. We know that correlation by equals zero. And the 0.1, 0.2, 0.5, and 0.88 is just, you know, for easy to illustrate the consequence. And we also changed the bootstrap samples. There's a tolerance to 500, we established 50, 100 different sample sizes to see where, in what condition we get the best estimate of the true correlation if the methodology works. Yeah, so we have two variations. One is the known correlation with different levels. Also, we change the bootstrap sample size, and we know sample size really make differences. This is the result. You see, on the top will be the known correlation coefficient. That means the 500 people we know they are correlated. How much will be the correlation? The bottom will be the with the bootstrap sample 50, 100, 150. 200, 250. For each of them, you know, we do, basically, 1,000 times. So for the 95%, the person should be put the CI inside. I know there's nothing about the cannot change. So you can see, for example, if you say, equal zero for the original data, you can see it's not very good sample size you are using. So the estimated point estimate is, zero. And when you do the bootstrap, you have a range. You can see, we do have a small, tiny range, and as the sample size increase, the range becomes narrower. The very first count. So see, if the true correlation is zero, our methodology get a correlation of zero. No matter how big will be the sample size. For the 95 confidence interval, the sample size increase, you see, 0.0 from 3.8 to 0.2, so this is narrowed down. 95 confidence interval. That means, we increase sample size, the estimate will be more precise. And for others, you can see, with the original data with 0.8, we pick up about, we use, 1200, we only 7.9. So with the further increase of sample size, still within this thing, range. So anyway, you can see the approach, the PRB, the random parity bootstrap seems like it can pick up. If you have a relation, I can pick it up. And this is one thing that gives us some confidence. Same this PRB method may work. Anyway, I already talked about this. For instance, we can reflect the linear correlation. This is a linear correlation. Even though we use the information, they still pick up the linear. If the linear is okay. If it's non-linear, it's also going to be what goes next. And they also say when you do bootstrap, the sample size is very important. We say about 250 pairs, you're going to be there almost. Now, first we talk about linear, now we're non-linear. So we give them a non-linear correlation, and if we can pick up them, use this information correlation we propose. For linear, it's okay. If it's linear, my information correlation still can pick up. Now we have a non-linear. And the given is, y to x power plus error, this is U-shaped thing. If you do linear correlation, zero. And because we set the x from negative to positive. But for the next one, y to x, the exponential family, in this condition, with the b equals 2, sigma equals 2, the true linear relations about 0.519. This is the condition we have. But now the underlying relation is non-linear. If you do linear regression, you know, the first one, you get a zero, you get nothing. But this can be picked up by information and correlation. Yeah. The second one, you know, too. This is second setting for, we want to say if this message can pick up non-linear relation, so the advantage of, you know, the linear correlation. Oh, good result. You can see it's powerful function. This gives this linear correlation. Very small, right? About zero. But for information, for non-linear, the sum size increases, they pick up the underlying correlation. And the same for exponential. This linear part, they almost pick up. 0.519 to 0.522, very close. And for non-linear, like the setting we give them, it's a non-linear correlation between the two variables. Seeing this, also we can see as the sum size increases, seems like a perfect trial. The sum size increases, the results more close to the underlying values. So this message do be able to capture both linear and non-linear, give us evidence to go on empirical data.
Yeah, so I think maybe I'm jumping ahead. This is a clever way to discover the non-linear relationship, but I think I've lost along the way how this tells us crosstalk and not just, maybe I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, we're going to have examples to see that, huh? So the brief. Yeah, okay, brief summary, I think we can go through. Now I'll give you some empirical data. We did a three-arm randomized trial in Bahamas for HIV prevention among adolescents. We have three groups, two intervention and another control, some sites over there. I use the data for baseline 12 months and 24 months. We have longer data, but three width of data to show the how, in real condition, how it goes. I report like three people with HIV knowledge, the scale score, from 0 to 14, in the self-efficacy in condom use, how good they can use the condom. Also scales go from 0 to 5, self-efficacy and condom use scales, the three variables we assess, because if you do a behavior intervention, we show you number to this, if they talk with each other, your performance is not going to show any effect. And not too much, they will jeopardize your effect. Even though our program show very positive effect, already reported in several papers, but here we want to illustrate the methodology. So now I'll talk about within group talk. At the baseline, they already have a number, right? That means in terms of HIV knowledge and self-efficacy and the counter skills, at the beginning, they already correlate with each other. So as time goes, if there's an increase or decline in the coefficient, that means they have a crosstalk. They're within group, within group talk. We do say, you know, all the variables, we do see changes, you know, up and down. That means there are some not big, but they see some effect over there. And they in both intervention and the control groups. And they, you know, some increase, some decline, and they, which we still need to do more work to see what it really means. This is just one way to, from our simulation, we feel so excited, but here we still need to give the meaning to these findings. Cross group talk. Yeah, as time goes, there's a big jump in the, if we remember the first one. First line, not a big, every time seems normal, but later, when they can maybe familiar with the program, you know, with teachers, and they begin to share with each other, there's a jump in the correlation. This kind of a this is totally new. We even need time to, you know, you guys can help us to interpret the results. And this is the two empirical findings. So do have a within and across talk. Anyway, very exciting so far, but still another question above me. And we need to still verify if this methodology really works in different settings. Secondly, if we identify the effect of crosstalk correlation, How could we use this to, you know, change our evaluation so we get a better result? That will be something we need to do next. And the, still not fun. I think we still have more questions to answer than being celebrated this time. Yeah, smile up. If anybody do intervention,
yeah.
Can't be we'll work together with you to build this part into your, we'll write our own proposal.
Build
this part into your, I believe it's going to be really catching people's wall, you know, they get excited.
This is a real problem, no one.
Very efficient. I just gave him the idea that they'll buy the results here. It's very, very good. Thank you, guys.